Okay.
Okay, we're ready.
We're ready. All right. We'll call the meeting to order. And first order of business is review and approval of minutes. I'm not sure what the 2014 minute.
Oh, those are for Kevin.
That's for
no,
later
they're,
discussion.
No, they're later. This is the ones for the...
Yep. All right.
You want the...
One from February 22nd, 2016, I guess is the one we're working on first, so.
I will, go ahead.
I'll make a motion to adopt the February 22nd minutes.
I'll second it.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt the minutes. We don't have to worry about all in favor. So, minutes are approved. And these ladies said they would want to hang around and kind of listen, so
we're flexible.
You're flexible.
Whatever works for
yes.
you. I'd like to see what you guys all do.
Well, all right. Weed coordinator vacancy. This must have Kevin's name all over.
Yeah, yeah. So as Jerry was informed, and I'm guessing that you guys were also informed. I don't remember if we talked about having you contact them or if, at any rate.
No, I've talked to Bill just in random.
Okay. At any rate, Mike Monfort submitted his letter of resignation a couple weeks ago. Has it been more than a couple weeks?
It's been more than a couple weeks.
It's been more than a couple weeks, yeah. So he submitted his letter of resignation and is no longer with the organization. If I were to guess at reasons why, it would be difficult for me to do so. But he wasn't happy. We didn't always see eye to eye on things, and he wanted to pursue something else in his life. So off Mike goes. In the meantime, we're left with a hole, and I spoke with Jerry a little bit about it, and I spoke with Allison Halpern at the state about filling the vacancy, and then you know, we looked at what the law says, and it basically says that the weed board provides a weed coordinator and that it follows county hiring processes or county hiring
procedures.
Yeah, so we went through our normal procedure of flying a job position, and I really felt that the most appropriate person for the job would probably come from our office. So we ran it as an internal department-only recruitment. And we have two applicants, and we're doing interviews tomorrow morning. And Jerry will be sitting on that interview panel with me and with our other lead, Danielle. And then I've rounded out the panel with an individual from our downtown office. So hopefully at the conclusion of tomorrow's interviews, we'll have a clear, someone with a head up on and be able to make that offer and get somebody back into the position and working with you guys again. So I just wanted to let you guys kind of know what the update was with that and see if you had any questions or...
So if you have somebody that's within your office, I assume they're going to be moving right into if they're hired, moving right into the position.
Yeah.
It's not like we're going to wait a month to, okay.
No, it would be immediate.
Okay.
And then we will shuffle responsibilities as necessary, depending on who is.
Okay.
And the two applicants that we're interviewing tomorrow are Casey Gozart, which I think some of you have met before.
Okay.
And then Blaine Kisler is another one of our employees here that applied for the position, so... Two very capable young men.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
see how that goes.
See how that goes tomorrow.
Yeah. Next one, I wanted to throw it out. Let's see your thoughts on, do we think that our District 5 position is vacant?
Are you making a statement or are you making a question?
I would like to hear what you guys think about how we proceed with this. It's my understanding that Robert Mello is not living in the state anymore.
Right, he's moved to Idaho.
He's moved to Idaho.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that the law states that you have to live within the district and the county that you represent. But
seems reasonable.
And I don't know if we want to ask Robert to send us a letter of resignation or if we want to just say, okay, by default, he's moved out of the state and we need to recruit for a new member.
What if you sent him a note and said, please submit your letter of resignation, and if we haven't heard from you in 30 days, we'll assume that you're, yeah.
Yeah, sounds reasonable.
By
some way.
Yeah.
Or we can do a board vote and just vacate the position, too, and speed that up so we can do the searching.
Robert's not there. Bylaws, Kevin?
We do have bylaws. That, I don't know if they're in here or not. Do you remember if they're in here?
I think they might be on the end of there.
At the very end?
That was my exposure.
Yeah, I don't know if they
RCW.
I just wanted to grab some Bibles.
RCWs, anyway.
Oh, sorry, guys.
If you're buying donuts.
Shoot, I would have bought donuts already.
Doesn't look
everybody's grabbing it.
We got this.
Here's
nice
a reminder to make sure it's on silent.
Yeah.
Nice pile of cookies. So
thank you very much.
Better.
So I don't see that it's in here, but we could go back to that. I think our bylaws state something to the effect of that participation in meetings is at least 50% of the 50% of the time, something like that. So,
because that's the other thing. You're talking.
Huh?
You're talking.
Is that me?
Seemed like.
Oh, how in the world, Dutch?
You called somebody.
Oh, I did. Oh, shoot. Still getting used to this new phone, dang it. How in the world?
I think we'll.
You want to just send him a note?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd give him 30 days, though.
We'll give him a couple weeks.
Yeah. That's short.
Send him a letter.
He knows.
Give him a couple weeks, yeah.
Okay. And then in the meantime, if anybody knows the name that's in that.
District 5.
District 5, what is it, Kevin? What kind of general area does it entail?
Kara?
Oh.
Do you know?
North of the battleground.
North of the battleground? Okay.
So yeah, it's right below your area.
It's
between me and
Clark.
Or battleground of me.
County line east of Clark and Skamania.
Oh, we didn't have it in our book, do we?
It's in the county code, isn't it?
Oh, there it is.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
Rest in that's, oh, yeah, so it's that kind of northeast part of the county.
Me is
west. It's a line running from north from Heisen Bridge. Westbound range east, 3 east.
Actually, I think that puts, this map puts me in 5.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Is you're up in that area more, aren't you?
Yeah. That's got me as 5, and you got me listed as 4. But.
Huh.
That map changed, though, didn't it, Kevin? When you guys changed the... There was 5.
I didn't think we changed it.
Oh, okay, here. There.
Solution 4. That's Kelly Road going up there. Gabriel. Yeah. I could be just left of that. Whichever one of these is 503.
Well, here's Louisville Highway here. So. So,
yeah.
Going up to Farger Lake, it looks like there. And
so I would be on the left side. It would be 4.
Just
on that one.
Okay.
Yeah. This doesn't have.
Hmm. Yeah, I want to say Glenn confirm that when we brought you guys on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got me on the left side. But
I hope
and then Robert was going to move up to Slatchie Prairie, too.
That's right.
That's, he was living over here on what is that, 94, 97, Cherry Grove.
Mm-hmm. Oh, CNN. Yeah, 97, yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
And then he was moving to up North County, Salacha Prairie, so. Wow. Okay. Thought process.
Just so you know, on the WAC number 11 for attendance, technically if he's missed two board meetings without your approval or the secretary's approval, he can be removed from the board following due notice and a hearing.
Ooh.
Removal procedures may be initiated by a quorum vote of the board.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, he's definitely missed two.
Yeah, question is, on the one previous, did he have notification or did he let us know that he was going to miss it or not? So yeah. He's missed two. So what do we have to have for a hearing? Said something about we have to have a hearing?
Yes.
It would be easier just to get him to
it would, I think, because we would have to advertise for a hearing.
Oh, gosh, yeah, probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Does the state residency requirements in there? Because it's the residency requirements, and you don't need it, you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if it's in the WAC, then you can get around that.
But I think it is in the WAC. Or the RCW.
Because then he's no longer eligible to be a member of the board. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Yeah, especially he's not even in the area. He's out of the state. Pretty well implies he's not here.
Do we have anybody in you know, we would think in that area that would be, you know, a good candidate?
Kara had a couple of names she was thinking about recently.
I was thinking about it, but now that I've seen the map, that's not going to work.
Oh. Or,
But I'll keep my thoughts open. There's some new ranchers out there that I can possibly ask them. Is there anybody you would like to see, like to round out the board more, specifically food farmer, that kind of a thing, cattle rancher? Is there anyone you'd like me to?
Either one of those two actually would kind of round it out.
Yeah.
If there's would help.
Trouble is you get up in that area 5 there and boy, you'd have to look for a tree farmer more than anything.
Yeah, more than.
Yeah, there's not much hay, not much grain or anything.
I don't think the cattle guys off Green Mountain will come in.
Mm-hmm. The only other thing up there I can't see, I think Salacha Prairie up there. If there's anybody up there that would be interested in coming,
maybe. That's pretty good grind, but yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll do some research on that. See if
see if you guys can do some research too. See if you run across somebody. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yep. Okay.
Okay.
In the meantime, we'll send Robert a note. See if we can get a response quick. And go from there. Okay, 2016 weed list, which you have.
Okay, so the reason I gave you the 2014 minutes from our February meeting was and then you also have a copy of the weed list here with little stars next to several species. So if we think back to the meeting in February when we adopted the state weed list, at least my recollection, and then listening to the minutes, or listening to the recording of it, it sounded like we asked you to adopt the state weed list as it was presented by the state, but we didn't go through a process of what we would call designating some of the other Class B and Class C weeds for control in Clark County specifically. And this is what the state would call the county selects. And so if you look at the notes from the 2014 meeting, You can see there was a discussion, kind of weed species by weed species. For example, policeman's helmet was designated, common tansy was designated, fragrant water lily, and so on. These are plants that are not required for control in Clark County by the state.
Okay.
So we have no authority to require their control or to prioritize their control.
Even if we designate them?
Once we designate them. So I guess what
we step above the state. Yeah. Okay.
So I guess what I'm saying is we didn't have that discussion in February, and I thought that we probably should have. And so I think we should either have that discussion now, or since the season's kind of almost halfway over, that I was going to ask you to just adopt the 2015 weed list as it was in 2015 for this year, and that we move forward with the year, and then at the end of the year, come back and have a broader discussion about priority with the new weed coordinator. Have that discussion about priorities, and I think that'll give our field inspectors a chance to, get a better understanding of what we have the capacity to prioritize, and because there's a lot on the list. Mm-hmm. There's a lot on the list. So that was my general thought, and want to know what you guys think.
Okay, in 2014 here, we talked about, common tansy and water lily and those. So did those, Kevin, did those end up getting prioritized above the state list, the county designated?
Well, they don't get prioritized above this. Well, they get prioritized above their status on the state list to be equivalent to a requirement for control like other species in this county. So, and yes, we did. In 2014, we did that. Okay. And in 2015, we did that. All the same ones that I highlighted for you. Okay. They were all added to or designated for control.
Okay.
And so I guess I'm just asking that we do the same thing this year to keep it consistent with the last couple of years.
So do we have to every year go to work and redesignate these separately? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I
talked with Allison Halpern at the state, and she said you can just ask the board, we can ask the board just to readopt the list from the previous year the way that it was with all of the species that we designated. But I don't think we did that this year. I think we just asked you to adopt the state weed list. And I don't know if it was clear that we were asking you, we want also these designates that were designated the previous year. And so we can do it that way, or we can have a discussion species by species on the ones that we want to designate or not designate. Or,
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll move that we adopt our previous designation, countywide designation of the same species that we had previously.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to adopt the currently being used weed list, designated weed list. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thank you.
We officially have adopted these weeds. Okay.
And so next thing on the list was outreach projects and events, and I was going to let Kara talk about that. At first, introduce Justin Colell, our new field inspector. He was filling the vacant position left by Keith Radcliffe. So he joined us this year in March, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, that's right. Although he had been working with us for 3 or 4 seasons previously as a temporary employee. But now Justin is responsible for the southernmost region of the county, so working with the city of Camas and city of Vancouver and all the private property owners in between.
Okay.
He's busy area.
Yeah. Keeps him hopping.
All right. Good.
That's all you care.
So
So lots of education outreach events in April. We had 5 different events. It started with the Small Acreage Expo. So I led a 2-hour workshop with about 40 people at Heritage Farm and had the tabling with all of our information and weed lists. From there, we went to the Eco Fair down at Klineline, where we had 54 volunteers who pulled 1,500 pounds of garlic mustard. We also had over 385 people come to our booth that we spoke to at the Eco Fair, and that was probably one of the busiest booths there. Lots of kid activities, and it was nice being able to do the kid activities and have people talk to the parents. So everyone was engaged with that one. From there, we went to the CPU Home and Idea Fair, where we counted over 1,000 people that we actually talked with in our booth. And then I went and did an event at Countryside Park. It was a volunteer event, so it was where teens go and volunteer for the day. And about 10 people there. But all of our education outreach reached over 1,500 people in the month of April alone.
Nice. I see the one at CPU, and that was seemed like a busy event.
Yeah, and that, I mean, the numbers that we got there aren't as high as they should be because we were simply understaffed. We couldn't count that many people. You know, when one person loses track when they have the clicker in their hand. So they just try, as much as they can. But yeah, I thought all those events were definitely worthwhile and very successful.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. And then we've got quite a bunch more coming up, I imagine.
You will have at the county fair, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank goodness we've got some time before that one.
Okay.
Small break in there. General discussion then on Class A's, grants, strange growing season.
So one, just want to let you guys know that we got a couple of grants for Class A weeds to address. One is false brome that we discovered at Camp Bonneville, I guess 2 years ago now. We got a grant last year and then another one this year. And it's not a lot. The state doesn't give us a whole lot of money, but I think it's $2,500 to help address that problem at Camp Bonneville. And then last year, did you find it, Kara? The goat's rue? Kara found goat's rue, which is also a Class A noxious weed. And so we applied for a grant to do some survey and outreach with property owners in the vicinity of where she found that, try to prioritize and get on that one as soon as possible. We didn't think we would get both, but they gave us both grants this year, so about $5,000 total. And we'll begin going on those basically in the month of May and June, as soon as we get the signed contracts back from the state. We'll be all over those.
What do you use to control them? Just Roundup?
I'm not sure. I'd have to ask our guys that do the work at Camp Bonneville what they're doing. Do you know, Kara?
For the brome, yes, they use Roundup. And then for the Gotru, I used an aminopyrrolid. That's actually federally listed, so the Gotru is.
Yeah, it's important.
Yeah, you can't take it across state lines.
I'm going to have to go look it up. I don't even know what it looks like.
I don't either.
Okay.
I know our guys at working at Camp Bonneville were also, they were looking this year to see if they could find something that was a grass-specific herbicide. Because there's so much of it out there in this one location, if they just, you know, could do more of a blanket spray and not worry about all the broad leaves that they'd be killing with Roundup, then it might go faster.
I don't know if it works on false brome.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I think that they just are sticking with Roundup and
then go back and replant or something.
Yeah. And also working on containment, because it is, it's all over the camp, and it's starting to spread out through the fences, and so they're really working on, like, let's just try to get containment this year and maybe next year, and then we can focus in more.
Yeah. Spread by seed or rhizomes?
Seed.
Seed?
Yeah.
I helped to treat last year, and we were as careful as we could be around the ferns.
Wow.
And the other forbs there. Mm-hmm. And when it's possible, if you avoid spraying the other things, then they can come back pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So we do see it fill in, although there's a lot of bare spots.
Yeah. Now, have you tried any select intensity or post or anything?
Not to my knowledge. No. You'd have to ask the guys that actually treat out there all the time.
Mm-hmm. We would have to get those herbicides approved by our purchasing committee.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is the county has an environmentally responsible purchasing committee. Right. And so we have all of our herbicides go through that review, and it's difficult sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All the things we don't think of.
It's yeah,
all
right.
Ran into that on Bachelor Island.
Yeah.
Any others?
So, yeah, we had a couple other Class A's that Justin was going to, or at least one other.
Yeah, about a month ago, I did find eggleaf spurge. It is a Class A noxious weed. I actually brought it in. It's on this side table. This one is a little worse for the wear because it's, like I say, about 3 weeks or a month old.
Mm-hmm.
Or it has spent a month in a jar. So, it's more than a month old. One is a private landowner, Evergreen Highway. The other infestation is City of Vancouver land. It's kind of vacant land.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep a close eye on it since I've only found those two infestations. At a CWMA meeting, they said they did find it southwest of Portland.
Mm-hmm. So. Got quite a crown on it, it looks like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite a perennial, huh? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
And then still battling the policeman's helmet last year, I identified a few more infestations, bringing the total up to 4. Two of those, I think I can safely say, will be eliminated and stay eliminated. They were homeowners. I can only assume they bought it somewhere or planted it themselves.
Hmm.
One of those is, again, along Evergreen Highway, and the other is out Winter Road. Could even be District 5, actually.
I know I've been passing. Winter. I'm trying to think exactly where it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it couldn't be District 5. It's my district. It'll be Washougal, so north north of Washougal. Maybe Fern Prairie area. I'm not sure exactly, but quite a ways out there, rural area.
If I can go back to the spurge, is it noxious? Is it toxic to livestock?
So it has the same milky sap all the spurges do. I would assume it would at least be irritating. We see with all the spurges that latex sap is irritating. Mm. Whether or not it's poisonous, I haven't read anything to indicate that.
You
can control it with sheep.
Ah.
It's one of those you can teach animals to eat it, though.
Goats? I wonder if goats would, too.
Yeah. I would guess so, but...
Probably.
There's been people doing it for 20-plus years with sheep.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Sweet. I gotta bring sheep then.
As long as you don't have the wolves to take out the sheep.
Yeah, I think I have. Now I got bobcats. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not enough fence. Right. The weed free twine yet.
Oh, yeah.
You have so, listed there.
So, I'm not sure if you guys have heard anything from the state yet, those of you that do weed free. But they're going with a new distributor of twine. So it used to be Continental, out of Portland.
Right.
The new producer of twine is, I forget the name.
Poly-Excel,
and they're out of Utah, right? Salt Lake area. And So we also discovered through this correspondence with the state that the way we were doing things was not right. We used to certify your field and then basically release twine for you from Continental.
Right.
Well, we were getting in the middle where we shouldn't be. And the releasing of twine is supposed to come from the state. So a process is going to be a little bit different this year. And we're just giving you a little bit of notice, and we're going to try to get it out to our other growers that the more time you can give us in advance of certifying fields, the better, because then that'll allow us to get an estimate up to the state and make sure that we can get twine for you in a reasonable amount of time.
Who's bringing the twine in then? Who's storing it?
Well, what we're going to try to do is work with the state to enter into an agreement where they can ship us twine, and we'll have some on hand. And then when we certify a field, the state will release that twine, right? And they will bill the grower. And so then
you can, getting pretty complicated.
Then you can pick it up. You can pick it up from us.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, the other side of it is, okay, we're right in the middle of it right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I know where there's some hay down. There's 80 acres of hay down now.
Yeah.
Yep.
And boy, we better have it. You know. Yeah.
Well, so you want to talk about your experience last week?
I did my first 40 acres of certified weed free, and we were able to get him the twine that he needed in the time that he needed it. So that's the good news, but he had to pay for it. The shipping costs being FedEx down from Olympia.
Yeah.
It was like overnight shipping. It was, $10 or $12 a bale to ship it?
Yeah.
Excuse my language. Excuse me, folks. I'm sorry. Jeez. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
So we're trying to get it arranged where we'll at least have some twine on hand that growers can pick up from us. And then since it won't be overnight shipping, we're assuming that the shipping costs will be a lot lower on when it's finally billed to the grower. But more to come on that.
But the state is billing it. Colors changed?
I don't think the colors changed.
Still purple and
red. Yeah. So
why not Continental and Portland? I mean, they're just off Airport Way.
Yeah. The state was handed this decision by the federal agency that's responsible for all the weed-free certification across the country. So it was out of even their hands. So,
what brother-in-law got the contract out of Utah? That you know, yeah.
Good question.
Okay, I know where my program's going.
And I mean, when we used to when I worked for the dealership. And we used to deal in, I mean, you know, we dumped truckloads of twine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, gosh, you know, are they only going to have one for the entire nation, or is it Utah for the western half of the nation, or what?
There's just one.
Yeah, there's not that many twine producers.
They're producing it.
Yeah.
Where last year, I think they were receiving it from China.
Oh,
probably. In the Continental.
And Continental was a distributor.
Yeah,
right.
Distributor, right.
That's a positive thing. At least it's being produced. Here now, but that was another part of the problem with the state didn't realize that all of our producers and growers relied on Continental, you know, just jumping over the river, grabbing your twine.
Right.
So that was another problem where they didn't realize so many of you guys went down there to get it without ordering it directly from them. So
well, I'm thinking of Oregon too, is all the Willamette Valley and everything and stuff.
Yeah.
And the east side of the state, too, geez, you know.
Yeah.
It's going to put a lot of...
Yeah, I wonder how many...
...folks in the bind for the Gifford Pinchot and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I have a hunch this program is going to get real weak.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing about it. And we had a request at the end of the year because of all the wildfires and everything for, I think, 174,000 more tons of weed-free, and if we knew where they could locate it.
It's not, not out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just thinking this company in Utah must be just, man, this is a boon for them.
Yeah.
Wow, because if it's for the entire nation, do you...
It's a lot of purple twine.
Yeah. Hmm. Wow. Okay.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. Yeah. So we only threw the strange growing season down as a point of potential discussion. What are you guys seeing that's strange about this year?
Early cordyceps.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. 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 Everybody sees that right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. That's kind of yeah. a big thing for us. Is
The grass yeah. is producing better this year than it did last year.
That's
so far.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
There are weeds out there. Anything and everything is growing.
Yeah.
Well, of course, we have the usual, the Canadian thistle and the Himalayan blackberries. But this year I've got groundsel. And I'm kind of, you know, of course, most people don't fight groundsel that much. But I've got groundsel on...
All over.
Yeah. And I'm going, okay, did I miss something on my herbicide program or what? And so I don't know what the deal is, but are you seeing it all over, groundsel?
It's one of the median weeds that's becoming resistant.
Hmm.
To herbicides.
Okay.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I shifted herbicides this year, and I thought that maybe that was the problem. Because I shifted using Prowl on my berries rather than Cinnabar and stuff, and I wondered if that was the part of the problem, but maybe it's more coming more resistant than we think. Okay.
Yeah, that has been coming out the last 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and it's one of the number one plants that is becoming
mm-hmm.
resistant to many mm-hmm. different modes of action. So that's one that
a hoe still kills it, though, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, a little bit of elbow grease, but that's yeah. definitely not one that you think, you know, because everyone's, oh, it's just groundsel,
right?
You know, no big deal. Well, then it gets more and more and more, and yeah. then nothing will take care of it.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not one.
It's so short
more.
Season that it's,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's really frustrating. Yeah.
Well, the other one, if I can get the name right, is the sheep sorrel or
wood sorrel.
Yeah, wood sorrel. Yeah.
Yeah, the kind of red one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, red, yeah.
Makes that red haze out there. I'm seeing that all
It's a big
over.
Year for that.
Man, oh man, I've had patches of it. And then I'm seeing over by WSU and a few other places, there's fields that are just all red.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it really seems to retard grass. But I'm seeing that all over the county.
Mm-hmm.
So, another one.
Yeah. Yeah, but Himalayan blackberries, I've got boysenberries, and we've got just an absolute flush. I mean, I've got, in particular, four rows that we're looking at. I may just have to go in and kill them out, because the Himalayan blackberries is so thick in it that I don't know how we're going to exactly, other than treating with Roundup, you know, cut and treat, I don't know that we can stop them.
Yeah,
isn't that fun?
Yeah, yeah.
I got to use a chainsaw to get them out of the woods. So big.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah, those canes get pretty stout.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, if you think they're bad, Jerry, you need to come down and see my tame Triple Crown blackberries.
No.
The canes on them, I'm not kidding, they're way bigger than Himalayans even. Yeah.
It just amazes me what I find out there in the timber.
Yeah.
But that's, yeah, so I didn't realize groundsel was getting to be that much of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first year I have seen it, anyhow, in my stuff
mm-hmm.
and everything, so, yeah. Well, I've seen it in the grain fields before, I should put it that way, but it was easily controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So
the one I talked to Glenn about several years ago that I found, again, still finding out in the timber, is that wild honeysuckle.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you're timber guys or any find anything, but we looked it up. I took some pictures, sent them to him. I don't know if they're in the computer. I probably got them buried somewhere, but it's like a grapevine, and it just goes around the big fir trees and chokes them.
Oh, really?
And it just keeps constricting.
Oh, really? Huh.
And it leaves grooves in the tree, or it'll just eventually kill it. And I found it in several spots there, and a new spot. But I just go in and clip the canes. I mean, it's down in the base there somewhere. And quits constricting, but...
It's still there. You know, yeah.
It's still there, I'm sure. And some kind of treatment, or I suppose with a Roundup on the cut off stump of it, or the
mm-hmm.
what helps, but That's a nasty one. And I did see it up around Bonneville Dam when I was hiking there a couple of years ago and a couple other places. So it's around. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's one that should be coming up in the timber growers.
Yeah.
I'm surprised we hasn't. Didn't,
that wasn't on the trees of concern list, was it? That's not really a tree. It's a vine.
But. Yeah, that's a vine. And then the other one was that I asked, was it... I want to say wild bayberry. I got some names
wild
back.
Wild bayberry?
That is, no.
The tree that you had make a hawthorn.
Yes, hawthorn.
Wild hawthorn. Oh, hawthorn, yeah.
And I've got that in a few places. I guess if you chainsaw that off, it just goes nuts mm-hmm. without treating it.
Correct.
And then out there by two...
That field that's full of it?
Yeah. On the east side of the road there. Mm-hmm. That's just massive. And I see that little tree a lot of places anymore. Yeah. One of the... to watch.
Yeah, it's all over.
Yeah, good.
It gets right. confused with the native hawthorn.
Yeah. Well, I've seen some locusts today. I didn't realize we had some, it's what I call locusts.
Yeah.
On 503. Okay. Enough to chat.
I think that was about it.
All right. I think we're down to... If these ladies are still awake.
We are still awake. We're very listening. Very interested.
All right. All right.
Well, we came because Danielle and I have had several discussions. I first started with Mike Moffitt because I called last year, maybe the year before, I came out to the Casey Center because I was working in Portland on my old school and we were trying to clean out something because... No schools have any money, so everybody has to volunteer. So we're over there trying, and I realized that we had this black locust, but I didn't know it was black locust. So I came over here, brought some samples, and the guy out the front desk says, oh yeah, that's what that is, and you better not do this, and cut it down, and you have to be careful, and you have to inject it. Well, by the time I went back to the city public schools and everything else, you know where that went. It just kind of didn't go very far, but I started taking a little bit, doing my little boring into it and working at it. So it was beginning to have, it showed something that it was deceased, you know, I was not getting quite so much root growth. So then I thought, I'm walking in my area and I see all this stuff, and I thought, that's that stuff. So I started telling everybody, and then I talked to Danielle, or I talked to Mike, and he and I had a pretty heavy discussion. And he told me what I couldn't use. I just want to eradicate it and do it simply. And he said, no, you can't do that. And then I noticed it on our street right just before our house. And I thought, where'd that thing come from? And... So I called him, and he sent somebody out. Well, within 3 weeks, we had another one. And then I said, well, that stuff's spreading. And that's what the black locust does. I mean, they cut it down. The crew came out from the county and just cut it. Well, that's when I got educated enough to know, really, even a small tree, you just cut it, and you're going to get another one shortly. And I live... with a buffer between me and a big section of what I call a thicket of black locusts. And I looked up when he was having some people come in and clean out his little plot, his acre. I think he has about an acre in there. And they were weeding you. And I said, oh, you guys. Of course, they didn't understand me. And so I said, where's your boss? Finally, I get boss, I get number. The man actually called me. And he came out and I said, you need to talk to the county about this. It's spreading on all of our yards because you're weed eating and it's just going rampant here. And county, well, you know how that alarms people. So they didn't do much. But I did talk to him, and I thought, well, so then I came back to Danielle. And it's been a process. So then nothing happened, so I went to the paper. And so that's where I got in the paper with this problem that's happening in our area. But then when I started I went to Erica for the state because I couldn't find anything on Hortense. And I said, how come we can't find anything? She said, well, I don't know. She says, I'll call them. So she went to her boss in Olympia, and they directly put out a comment about treatment and et cetera. So she, I'll pass these out. This is what she gave me, that I could go to businesses and churches and people and hand things. And I've handed them out. I don't know if I have quite enough, but I have some. And I want you to see that it's on the back also. But I realized that down by the water tower on, like, I think it's 63rd, by that church that has the slopey roof, mm-hmm. right across from them, it's just covered with these trees. In front of Walmart on Highway 99, you find them in there. You find them everywhere, and unfortunately, they're spreading because they're just getting just taken down with brush and not really treated. So I talked to Danielle at Glink here a while back while she was at the greenhouses, because I work at for the Master Gardeners at Heritage Farm. And she said, well, she said, go to the weed board. If you want something done, you need to go the process of trying to get somebody to do something. So Susan is with Urban Forestry. And in Vancouver, they have the Tree of Heaven. And we, I don't know how many of you have actually dealt with people, but I thought Susan can tell you about the Tree of Heaven and her fight.
So I'm a volunteer with Urban Forestry Commission. And about 2 years ago, 2013, kind of like you, on my block were these two trees, street trees, and I'd never seen them before, even though I grew up here, never seen them before. And they ended up, I found out, to be trees of heaven. And so my education started going kind of like this, and I took this information to the Urban Forestry Commission, and as a result, we did a brochure, not the best brochure, but a brochure, on invasive trees, the two that we have, and Tree of Heaven and Black Locust are indicated here. And really, as a member of Urban Forestry, our job is to educate and try and bring to people's attention. And I see Lydia and Master Gardeners and you guys as part of our education process. So I was reading through your minutes and I noticed that you do have, you know, trees of concern, and I didn't see the Tree of Heaven on that. So I guess part of what I'm asking is for you to consider that. And I brought, I don't know if you know anything, do you know anything about Trees of Heaven?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I brought two little samples. This is the root. These are the branches. Notice the ratio.
Yeah, wow.
Lots and lots, very aggressive roots. And much like locusts, if you cut it, you're just going to get suckers and more. This I cut from my neighborhood. I live in Carter Park in Vancouver. And this is a tree that was part of a tree that was cut down. If you rub this and smell it, you'll never forget. I'm going to pass it around. I'm sorry if it was offensive. So, I'm asking that you consider this on your trees of concern because of its destructive root nature. It wipes out curbs. I have pictures of it. It wipes out retaining walls. It grows a lot in Vancouver in the alley, so undisturbed area, it'll just take over. And it makes groves.
Oh, yeah.
I have some pictures of that. Here's a good grove. This is in Vancouver, so I can pass that around. And destroys all the native stuff. So just to kind of call it to your attention, there's another anecdote about the root structure. If you cut it down, the roots continue to grow. About 2 years ago, I think, in Clark College, they had cut down a tree years and years ago. No one could even remember exactly where it was, but there was nothing showing. But it the root structure continued to grow until it went into an electrical vault, and it shut down Clark College electricity. And that's about 2 years ago. So these things get my attention. So just for what it's worth, I would be happy to work with you in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you.
And back to Lydia.
Well, and my concern is, like, this is a little sample of one I pulled out of my yard. But because I knew and I looked at my garden, I have a very busy covered type of a yard, so that I have multi plants and you have to pay attention. But what I found very interesting about this very little plant was all the nitrogen nodules that it has. It's from the pea family. Yes. So it has tons of nitrogen, which sustains it. And then today, and then this time frame, that's about 2 years old, I wanted to say, how many people really stop and look at your thorns on your black locust? Yeah. They are humongous. And if now, this year, I haven't in 3 years seen it bloom like it's blooming this year. Never. I didn't know it had a big bloom like this. Wow. This year, it's white in our neighborhoods. And it's beautiful. And when you see it like this, you don't see the thorns at the very end. They're well hidden. They're like that moonbeam, what is that? That one that we use in everybody's yard. They use them in the freeway. The red moonbeam plant that they use for a
street plant. Abelia.
Yeah.
Abelia.
Yes. And I just think they hide them. But these aren't hidden. But I just thought, this year I'm worried. Because see the seed pod on this? And I took some seed pods here because they're tiny, tiny, tiny seeds. And they blow. In my house, in the house next door, I killed 157 trees for the lady.
Wow.
Just from seed. And it actually, I looked at her and I said, how come you got so many of these things? Where'd they come from? It never, in all the years, 50 years I've lived in that neighborhood, I just kept looking around thinking, where the heck did they come from? Behind a fir tree that's very large, there is this old black locust. Now, black locust, in its very old stage, is a very nice tree, and as long as you don't disturb it, it's not going to disturb you. They put a new septic system in the yard. They disturbed the roots, and all of a sudden that tree raised its head and said, oh, something's going on here. And now our neighborhood is covered, but the back side also faces that other group of trees. And I've talked to several people, and I worked with Charles from the WSU, and Charles and I found some people that will take the wood, some of the Forest Service people that will help you. If you have to take it down, they want the wood. And so I have information on the live tree woods, or you know, the hardwoods. Now, you know that the man that bought down further on 95th area, he bought the land so he could cut the tree. Now here's what he has in mind. He's going to use it to support the support post because that wood won't rot. Mm-hmm. So he's thought of a way to use the old trees, but it's also a thicket in his place. Yeah. And because they weed-eated it. So we're asking both of us that you would consider that at least put it out there a little more. And I'm glad to hear about the weeds that you guys are seeing and the tansies and all the things, because I see an uptick in tremendous amount of growth of tansy. And so I guess it must be a year that everything is just going to be crazy. And so I'd like you kind of consider that you put us on there. I know Benton County has a listing for black locust. Only two counties I could find in the state that actually acknowledge black locust as a major problem. I think it was Pierce and Benton. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, add us maybe to a list somewhere.
Yeah.
And if you can, you know, get the word out, and if we could help at some of your educational aware meetings, or if you're out in the public, we'd like to kind of come help, because people don't know about these, so they don't, so they spread them.
Yeah. I talked to a number of neighborhood associations in Vancouver. That's why I have my little specimens. I have some bigger specimens too. And people are, you know, they have no idea. They see it all around. I wonder what that is. It's in the alley. There are a few big trees. Some people love their big trees. Other people, not so sure. The Vancouver Watershed Alliance has been gave Carter Park Neighborhood Association a grant to get rid of four trees. And I coordinated that for them. We have a lot more trees.
Yeah.
It's really hard to coordinate that. Some of the other neighborhood associations have tried to do that, but the amount was $1,500, and you had to have three families. Well, if you say three trees, $1,500, they have to pay for half of it. You're talking about $3,000 total cost. You know, taking trees down is pretty expensive. And so that doesn't go very far. And I did a lot of negotiating. And I'm going to do it again. I've got another grant that I'll be starting. But we do those kinds of things and talk to neighborhood associations and actually talk to anybody who will listen to us. And some people who won't.
Well, we get that every so often.
Yes. Well, thank you for coming today.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that.
Is there anything we can do? Do questions or anything that we can do to?
I don't know. I think I just want to let you guys know. So we have been we've recognized that some of these trees are an issue, and so we started late last year and beginning of this year developing a trees of concern list. And that's kind of outside of this formal weed listing process, although Tree of Heaven is on the state list as a Class C weed.
Okay.
And so it's one thing that we've identified as an education piece for the general public, because we do get so many calls about a couple of these different species. And what's the best way to control them? Because even I was looking at the information that WCU Extension has there, I think even that could be improved based on the experience that we've had with what really works and reduces the amount of time and effort it takes to control these.
Well, I think what happened was they didn't realize they hadn't put out any verbiage concerning this. So when Erica called them and said, well, we've got a problem, but there's no educational information on this, no background. And so then within 2 days, I had those brochures. So I think they kicked them out, got them listed, and maybe the state will do a little more information study on it. But I talked to Charles quite a bit about it, and he knows that they needed to do more, but everybody wants to start with less than more. And so I just think, you know, if we could have some education in the public. Now, you know, in our newspaper in the Columbia, and I don't know where you all stand with funding for public notifications, like, you know, your meetings or things. Do you know how many people say, oh, where do you find that stuff? In the paper. Well, it's not there sometimes, it's there other times. So we don't get
a broad spray of information to general people, and people want information, but people are like kids. You got to tell them, and you got to tell them, and you got to tell them. And you can't just think that they're going to remember. So I thought, if there's anything that we could do, you know, I have a few people who work with me. Most of them just, it's like fighting blackberries in the years past. You know, you just do it and keep doing it. But I'm sure Susan and I both will do what we can to get information or help at booths or whatever.
Right. Great. And you've got contact information. So
I have yeah. Susan's card, and then...
And I'm just a regular old person.
She comes all the time. Yeah. Yeah.
So we can get all the room. She wants to work a booth or something.
Yes, my name down, and I will help, and maybe I can get conjure up some friends from the gardeners and have them come with me.
Sounds great. Okay.
And I'll give you this handout that I have used with the Neighborhood Association.
Great, thank you.
And just, you know, information.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you very much for listening to us. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Sir, you came in late.
I just tell you, I'm a beekeeper, and black locust produces a tremendous amount of honey. It's honeybees.
And I think it's really good for, like, the big trees, they don't do anything. But bees, the funny thing that struck me is why we didn't have blooms for so many years, and all of a sudden, this year, it's just so heavy.
The rain.
Yeah.
Okay, at the right time. At the right time.
Yeah.
And then this is kind of like, I think the big trees, they have one of these outside of Heritage School? One of the schools, one of the older schools. The one out on Main Street. They have a huge one. They love it. They think it's the best tree that ever happened in their school. And it is when it's mature.
Yes.
And undisturbed.
And undisturbed, yes.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you so
much. We'll get out of here. Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks for coming by.
I left my blooms on the floor.
It smells nice.
Yes.
I've camped under those big trees.
Yeah. It's always nice to have somebody besides just ourselves to talk to and listen to. Yeah.
Well, I found it very interesting. I didn't know you existed. When Danielle said, well, you got to come to the Weaver, I said, I never heard about weed board before.
Most of the time, that's good.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You bet.
Well, I'll just get out the door gracefully. I think that's about the best I can do. Now I'll try not to get you.
Oh, look.
I brought a little bee in with me. Come here, baby. Put it in there. I'll get him outside.
Yes.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
You bet. Sir, was there anything that you wanted to talk to the weed board about?
I'm a beekeeper. I'm vice president of the state association. And
would you mind moving up? You could move up on here. And, by golly, we're glad to have you in our group, in our midst. Yeah.
I'm also past president of the Pacific Northwest Queen Rearing Club, and I'm a beekeeper myself. I have 25 hives. And my concern is spray. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When you get the weeds, some of them are very beneficial to bees, and so it concerns me when spray gets on my bees. And so I just wanted to sit in and see what the weed control board does, and I'll report back to our club.
Okay.
All right. Well, I know from my end is Aurora Matson brings out bees to us. I don't know if you know Aurora.
I don't.
Okay. Anyhow, I expressed to her, you know, with the spotted wing Drosophila that we have now in the berries so much, we're very concerned about it. And we expressed to her the concern that we have to virtually spray every week. We have to spray an insecticide to try and control those guys. And the ironic side is Aurora found no problems at all. I mean, she had no... Well, and the real ironic side is I asked her if she had any colony collapse. And she says, oh, yeah. She says, you know, she lost, I forget, you know, 2/3 of the hives and stuff. And I said, really, on our place? Because I've been watching the hives, and she goes, oh, no, no. She says, when they were here at our farm, they were doing great. She moved the hives, you know, off in October, and all of a sudden she lost a whole bunch of them. And so it was kind of, well, I was glad to hear that.
You probably don't spray Sniper then.
Yeah, we do occasionally use Sniper, yeah.
Sniper's deadly.
Yeah.
Deadly to bees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, we spray all at night, so that will make a difference.
But there's a 7-day waiting period before you put bees on there.
Oh, huh?
And what you don't see is it didn't kill the bees because the bees didn't get wet.
Mm-hmm.
But they took the pollen back and killed the larvae.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I talked to the company that supplies Sniper, they said that anywhere from 3 hours it'll dry, but up to 5 to 7 days before they put bees back.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm thinking Sniper, we don't use much any time when it's blooming. We use Sniper as a pre-harvest spray on the berries, so the bloom is all gone by that time. So,
I just talked to a guy that was putting bees over by my place. I live over on 159th, and he was spraying Sniper, and there was about, 10% bloom. And it was like 10 in the morning. Deadly.
Yeah. Deadly. Yeah. Yeah, we do have to be careful about it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's basically my concern is, what are you spraying? When are you spraying? Do you know where beehives are? Most people don't.
And as far as they travel, you know, you don't know.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they'll travel 2 miles or more. So, you know, you're sitting there going, geez, you know, anywhere's in the neighborhood could be somebody with hives. Yeah. Yeah. Do you handle the complaints from my neighbors? If my neighbors are complaining about the bees, do I send them to you?
I get calls. You know,
yeah.
I got a call from a guy that a Russian put 1,200 hives on 5 acres across from his house. He's got about a $700,000 house. Just last year had it painted, and he's going to have it painted again this year from bee poop.
Uh-huh.
Because bees poop.
How far out will they go?
Well, it depends. Like, his house is right in the flyway for water and food. And so they'll go up to 5 miles.
Before they poop?
No, before they'll, as far as flight, as far as poop. They'll poop anytime they have to poop.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't matter how far.
You may think it's funny.
No.
We have a complaint. We have a guy who's wanting, he's going to lodge a complaint against us because of the beehives on the place. Is he's claiming that his house and his skylights and his pickup are getting pooped on by the bees.
That happened out here when we had our office out here.
Yeah.
It was constant all the cars out here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, anyhow. Yeah.
He said his wife couldn't walk from the front door to the car with a white blouse on to go to church.
No. Oh, really? Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, you're going to get those complaints. And I want to work with the county. We want to actually work with the county to find out. There is no ordinance about bees. If you check every manual I check, there's nothing that says how many bees can you have on one small lot to 1,000 acres. There's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of that has to be put on in the ordinances so that regardless whether you're a beekeeper or you're a commercial beekeeper or you're just a citizen or a backyard beekeeper, a hobbyist, but there's nothing. And so we've got to get some of that in there. Otherwise, you guys are going to agonize over this stuff.
Well, I get a little concerned about it. Is you know, be careful what you wish for because... Yeah. In the farm direct marketing, I mean, we got really royally shafted by the time we got done. And, you know, don't, you know, careful what, you know, like I said, careful what you wish for. Because they may take and say, well, you can no longer put bees in any other location other than where they've been. And, you know, you can't use any new locations. And that's what they did to us with the farm market ordinance and stuff. So,
well, that's why we want to be on the writing, because it's going to come. I mean, you're going to get complaints, and they're going to write ordinances, and if there's not beekeepers there, you know, we're going to get shafted.
You may get shafted anyhow.
Yep, that's true, too.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you the same gentleman that came to the Heritage Farm about the queen bee rearing project?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I've got the bees up on top of the hill.
Up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I teach two classes there.
Oh, great.
Can I ask you a dumb question? How do you get the bees to start producing queens, extra queens?
I make up a nuc. A nuc is a small hive,
mm-hmm.
okay? And you don't put a queen in there, and you put nothing but nurse bees in there. So they're absolutely queenless. Then you actually graft larvae that's 18 to 24 hours old out of an existing hive and put it into queen cups on a bar.
Oh, really?
And you put that bar into that queenless nuc. And they want a queen so bad, they make them into queen cells. Then you take those queen cells and put them into another nuc that's queenless. And they'll take care of that. And then she hatches out. She goes on a maiden flight. They actually breed in the air.
Right.
And they'll breed up to 17 drones. And they'll store enough semen for the rest of their life.
Hmm.
And they come back, and they never leave the hive again unless they're swarmed. And so that's how you make queens.
Yeah. I was always interested in how they did that, but yeah.
Okay. What was your name?
Charles Bennett.
Charles Bennett. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I have a card. I need a card.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Okay. Good to
see you. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Good to see you. All right. Anything? See. Next schedule is July 11th. Yeah. We moved that a little bit, but
something about ask the board to provide or let us take a picture, post on our web page.
I was skipping that.
You?
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, Jerry. We'll skip it then, I guess, if you want to.
No. I presume it's something for a web page. But
yes.
Yeah, we were going to take their picture and put it on the web page.
Not today, but the boy wanted
when we have everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe you were meaning pictures of weeds. I
no,
didn't realize you want pictures of
pictures
us.
Of you criminal guys. Yeah.
Oh,
put on our web page.
Criminal pictures.
We'll put push that one
Jerry.
Give you some notice so that you can you know
wear a good shirt that day.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Anything the board requires for the next meeting? In July? Nope. Okay. And I will adjourn the meeting so we can all go do something and get into that pile of cookies.
Thank you.
Good luck on getting twine.
Yeah, I know. I know. We're going